to be praised, he's worthy to be adored, he's worthy to be magnified. Praise his holy name. Worship the King of Kings. Worship the Lord of Lords. Bless the Ancient of Days. The one who can make the blind to see, the one who can make the lame to walk, the one who can make the barren fruitful, the one who can do the impossible, the Almighty God who can reverse the irreversible. Give him glory, give him honor, give him adoration. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be magnified. There's no one like him. Greater than the greatest, better than the best. Higher than the highest. Older than the oldest. Wiser than the wisest. Bless his holy name, he's the Almighty God. He's the God of wonders, the God of signs, the God of miracles, the God of joy, the God of victory, the God of breakthrough. Give him glory, give him honor, give him adoration. Bless his holy name. He reigns supreme. He's the unchangeable changer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Magnify his holy name. He has never failed before. He's not going to fail now. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Magnify his holy name. Oh, magnify his holy name. It's worthy, it's worthy, it's worthy, it's worthy. It's worthy to be praised. It's worthy to be magnified. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the Holy One of Israel. He reigns supreme. There's no one like him. Oh, there's no one like him. When he speaks, it is done. When he says, let there be light, immediately there will be light. Oh, thank you, my Father, my God. Glory be to your holy name. Glory be to your holy name. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we worship. We're going to pray one prayer now. And I don't need to beg you to pray it with all your heart. Just lift your voice to him and say, Father, remember me. Let's talk to the Lord. Oh Lord, remember me today. Almighty God, remember me. Remember me, Almighty God, remember me. We have heard with our ears the marvelous things that you had done for others. Oh Lord, please remember me. Remember me. Remember me today. Remember me right now. Remember me, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And now please join your hands together. That is this power in corporate prayer. prayer of agreement. And just pray the same prayer for your neighbor and say, Father, this is your child that I'm holding. Remember him. Or remember her. Just go ahead. Please, just remember this, your child. Remember this, your child that I'm holding. Today, remember the one who has been forgotten. Remember the one who has been forsaken. Remember all these your children today, Lord God Almighty. Remember us. Remember us. Remember every one of us, O Lord. Please, Daddy, remember us. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. There is none holy as the Lord, holy as the Lord. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. There is none holy as the Lord, holy as the Lord. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is Lord Jesus, Savior, Healer, Deliverer, Provider, King of Glory, Lord strong and mighty, Lord mighty in battle, Lord of hosts himself, the way, the truth, the life, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come, the Almighty. Glory be to your holy name. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you for what you did on Monday. Thank you for what you did yesterday. Thank you for what you have already started to do today. Thank you for what we do the rest of this Congress. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Father, tonight, both young and old, remember us. All who had been forgotten, all who have been written off, Lord, tonight remember us. All the things that doctors have said can never be done, tonight do them in Jesus' name. All that the economist, all that the high and mighty, all that the people we thought could help us have said there's nothing we can do, please tonight remember us. Even what prophets have said can be done, you, the original prophet, remember us tonight. At the end of everything tonight, let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let someone shout hallelujah. And then shake hands with about three or four people and tell them, God will remember you tonight. And then you may please be seated as you put those hands together for the Almighty God. As at 9 p.m. this evening, the number of children born during the Congress has risen to 20. And a set of twins was born today. And the girls have taken over. So we now have 9 boys and 11 girls. So let the girls shout, glory! And let the boys shout, hallelujah! Once again, I want to encourage you to tell your friends who are still not here yet. I can see quite a lot have turned up again to welcome. The Almighty God will bless you mightily in Jesus' name. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 10. Tonight we want to talk about the wonders of reversing the irreversible. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 10. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man. And say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. I want you to prophesy to your neighbor and say, the wind will blow tonight. Our God has many attributes. Genesis chapter 17 verse 1. Genesis 17 verse 1 calls him the Almighty. And the Almighty means the one who has all might, all power. The one who can do all things. Jeremiah 32 verse 27. Jeremiah 32 verse 27, he said, behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Isaiah chapter 40 verse 28, Isaiah 40 verse 28 tells us that he is the all-knowing God, the omniscient one. And Psalm 115 verse 3, Psalm 115 verse 3 says, he's the sovereign one. Is the original majesty. He says our God is in the heavens. He does as he pleases. But probably the one that is most appropriate of all his attributes tonight is the one you find in Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. Revelation 1 verse 8, that's the one that says he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come, the Almighty God. Meaning what? In him, the past, the present, and the future coincide. What had gone, what is happening, and what is to come, all meet together in him. As a result of this, he controls times and seasons. According to Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. Daniel 2, 20 to 21. He controls times and seasons. So if he wants, he can stop time. And just say to time, stop where you are. Like it happened in Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 to 14. Joshua 10, 12 to 14. Son, stay where you are. Don't go and set. And I'm sure you, some of you remember what he told me and I shared with you. Some 10 years ago, when I was approaching 60, and I was concerned because I was getting old, and the assignment he has given me seemed to be far, far beyond my ability to handle. My children were getting excited, they want to celebrate, and I was groaning, crying to God in pain. I still remember the very spot where I was around 2 a.m. in the night. God help me. What am I going to do? There's so much work to be done. And now the sun is setting. And he said, son, I decide when the sun sets. Which is a word to somebody here tonight. All those who are planning to attend your funeral, God will disappoint them. It can stop time. But it can do more than that. It can reverse time. Isaiah 38, verse 7 to 8. When he told the king that the king was going to be healed, the king asked for a sign. So the prophet said, all right, what do you want? Do I ask the son to move forward faster? Or to retrace himself? He said, moving forward faster, that's easy. Ask the son to go back. And the son retraced his step. So God has the ability, because the past, present, and future coincide in Him. Help me, Lord. He can go right into the past, pick something there, and bring it to the present. Meaning what? He can pick an opportunity that you think you have lost forever and bring it right back to you again. That's what he did in Genesis 18, verse 9 to 14. Genesis 18, 9 to 14. When he said to Abraham, tell your wife she's going to have a son. And Sarah laughed and said, I'm 90 years old. The last time I menstruated was some 40 years ago. What are you talking about? God said, you don't seem to know who is talking. That which is gone forever, I can bring it back. I prophesy to someone here today, every opportunity you have already lost shall be restored to you. In the 1960s, I was a teacher at a school called Okegwe Federal Grammar School. And because of my love for sports, I was a games master. So we went to play a match in a school in Akure. And there I met the games master. And we talked, we had fellowship for the duration of the match. And of course, we parted. Soon after that, I came to the University of Lagos to do my master's degree. And I applied to the federal government for scholarship. First year passed, I had nothing. I was in the second year, so I assumed that, well, no scholarship. Then one day I saw that games master again at the campus. Ah, hello sir, long time no see. Where have you been? He said, now I'm with the Federal Ministry of Education. What are you doing? I told him. I said, I even applied to you people for scholarship. And you didn't even reply to say, come for an interview. He said, no. He said, I remember your application. He said, you are the only one who applied for scholarship for mathematics, postgraduate scholarship, and I'm sure we decided that they should give it to you, that the interview will be a mere formality. He said, but you didn't come for the interview. I said, I didn't get any letter. Oh, he said, okay, we will see. In those days, I wasn't born again, so I bought him a bottle of beer. and we talked for a while, you know. Don't ask me what we talked about. That's none of your business. 2 weeks later, I got a letter granting me full scholarship, backdated to the day I began my studies. There's someone here today. that opportunity you thought you had lost forever, the one who can reverse the irreversible, will bring it back to you tonight. On the other hand, he can go into the future and bring something from there to the present. In John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, whatever blessings you have already will not be lost. In John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, when in the wedding in Cana of Galilee, when they ran out of wine, and his mother came to him and said, Lord Jesus, they needed wine. He said to her, woman, my time has not yet come. But that same day, he reached into the future and brought the time from not yet to now. I want to prophesy to someone here today that the miracles that will come in the by and by in your life will happen tonight. To control nature, to control the universe. He made the law of gravity, he made the law of death, he made all kinds of laws to control what he has made. But all these laws were made for his own pleasure. According to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation 4, 11. He said, all things were made for his pleasure. So whenever he wants, he can suspend the laws, not cancel them, just suspend them so he could perform a miracle. Like in Matthew chapter 14, you can read the story from verse 22, Matthew 14, when he told the disciples, go over to the other side, I will join you. And he went to the mountaintop to pray. And while he was praying there, he forgot time. And by the time he came down, all the boats were gone. So, he just decided to suspend the law of gravity and began to walk on water to go to the disciples. He suspended the law. He didn't cancel it. How do we know that it was suspended? Well, when Peter decided to do the same thing, you remember what happened when he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ? Suddenly he began to sink. But he suspended that law so that he can give a miracle to his children. I'm praying that tonight, every law that God has to suspend, in order that he may bring you your miracle, shall be suspended. Now the same law that he made, law of gravity, is also the law that is related, if you ask the scientists, they will tell you about what is called the law of flotation. It's a law of flotation that makes a log of wood float on a river. So you don't need to know too much science to know that. But when you read 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 to 7, you will see the story of the sons of the prophets cutting down wood by River Jordan. And suddenly the axe head fell into the river and sank. Because that is the law. The iron head is heavier than water, so it sank.
And when they cry to the man of God and say, "Oh, man of God, we borrowed this axe and it's gone now. What are we going to do?" He cut a piece of wood, threw it into the river. The wood that is supposed to float sank, touched the iron where it was, transferred anointing from the wood to the iron. And the iron that was supposed to sink jumped to the surface and began to swim. I have good news for somebody here tonight. I say that which you had lost shall be fully restored to you in Jesus' name. So if he likes, he can suspend laws. If he likes, thank you, Father. The Lord said, there's someone here today. He said, the one who stole your position shall be displaced. He can suspend laws. He can reverse them. And at times, he will override the laws that he has made with a superior law. That one is easy to understand, because if somebody has a case in a magistrate court and the magistrate says the fellow is guilty, and the fellow appeals to a high court, the judge of the high court can say the magistrate erred in law and say that his judgment is thereby set aside. I want to decree tonight that every judgment that forces of darkness have passed upon you shall be set aside in Jesus' name. Now that's what happened in John 11, verse 39 to 44. John 11, verse 39 to 44. Lazarus died. Had been buried for 4 days. And according to the law of death, he was already rotting and stinking. But Jesus Christ used a higher law, the law of resurrection and life. Because he said in John 11 verse 25, John 11 verse 25, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." So he uses that superior law to override the law of death and decomposition. That's why he could speak a word and say, "Lazarus, come forth." The one who had been dead for 4 days came back to life. And you need to understand that when you just read it, that the man who's been dead for 4 days came back to life, you need to understand that certain things happened. It happened in stages. When somebody dies and he begins to decompose, the blood changes to blackish water. The skin will begin to decay. And maggots come from all over and begin to feed on the rotten flesh. For that dead fellow who had been dead for 4 days to come back to life, maggots need to vomit what they have already swallowed. The black water needs to change back to blood. The skin had to come over again. I am saying to someone here today, everything that the devil has swallowed concerning your life shall be vomited. So this is our God in his sovereignty can restore lost opportunities. He can change causes to blessings. Now, one thing about curses is that they can be so permanent. Particularly when somebody who cursed you is already dead. This is the story in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. 2 Kings 2, verse 19 to 22. The one who placed a curse on Jericho was Joshua. And he died a long while ago. Long after he was dead, the curse continued to walk on until Elisha arrived on the scene. And then he went into the past, dealt with the curse, and now replaced the curse with a blessing. You see another example in the story of a young man called Levi. You can read about him in Genesis chapter 49, verse 5 to 7. Genesis 49, verse 5 to 7. His father was on his deathbed. The worst time in your life that your parents can curse you is when they are about to die. Because if they curse you and then die, well, it looks as if the matter is settled. On his deathbed, Jacob pronounced a curse on Levi. He said, Levi, you will be scattered in Israel. And then he finished cursing him and died. But there is a God who can reverse the irreversible. So by the time we got to Numbers chapter 3, verse 11 to 13, Numbers chapter 3, verse 11 to 13, the Almighty God said to Moses, I'm aware that Levi had been cursed. But I've decided in my sovereignty, the very one that they say is cursed, I'm going to make him my firstborn. I prophesy to someone here today. Number one, every curse in your generation will end tonight. And in place of every curse, there will be a permanent blessing in Jesus' name. In his sovereignty, because he's sovereign, he does as he pleases. Do you know he can keep a destiny in suspense until he chooses? I explain that to you. Look at the story of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, verse 28 to 37. Daniel 4. Thank you, Father. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, every trace of poison in your system will leave tonight. Well, he said, this, whoever this one is, you will understand. The Lord says, even if it appears as if you are hearing the footsteps of those who are pursuing you, they will not overtake you. Nebuchadnezzar offended God in pride, so he turned him to an animal. For 7 years. And everybody walking past can see the former king naked, eating grass like a cow. Humanly speaking, bye-bye. They thought this, as for this one, his case is closed. But do you know in those 7 years, the Almighty God did not allow anybody to usurp the throne? in an age when kings fight kings so that they can take over the other fellow's territory, everything that belonged to Nebuchadnezzar, God kept it intact. He just wanted to teach him a lesson. As soon as he came to his senses, I said, I'm sorry, you are the Almighty God. He said, all right now. You chiefs, go and bring your king home. They came to the man who was mad, who was eating grass like an animal, and they found that all of a sudden he's normal again. They took him home, they washed him, they dressed him, put him on the throne, and he said, excellent majesty was added to me. I prophesy to someone here today, your destiny that has been in suspense shall be released to you tonight. Because without any doubt at all, I know at least one, two, or three people here that when you were younger, God showed you a glimpse of your future. He showed you a future of greatness. He showed you how glorious your future will be. But up to this night, there's nothing glorious at all. But that destiny that was suspended, you will get it tonight in Jesus' name. So, this God can make dry bones live again. He can turn completely hopeless situation around. He can turn dry bones to an army. It's interesting that the text that we read said that the bones were not just dry, they were very dry. Just to let you know how hopeless their situation was, he said, very dry. And so God can breathe on dry bones and turn them to an army. He can reverse the irreversible. Now, the question is, for whom will he do this? I'm sure if I ask you the question, everybody will say it's for me. In fact, I expected you to say me loud and clear so God will hear you. Well, you need to look at the story of dry bones to get an idea of the kind of people who will get this wonder called reversing the irreversible. First thing you know about dry bones is that they were completely helpless. I mean, they were not just dead, they were rotting, they were bones, completely helpless. I have discovered in my little walk with God that he enjoys helping the helpless. You know, Psalm 46 verse 1. Psalm 46 verse 1 calls him the ever-present help in time of trouble. He is the helper of the helpless. He enjoys coming when your situation is totally beyond the help of man. He loves to step in when you find yourself in a situation where no one else can help. And he loves to do that so that nobody will be able to share in his glory. Oh, thank God for all the beautiful testimonies we've heard. Some people will say, I was sick, I went for an operation, and the doctors operated, and now thank God I'm well. Glory be to God. I thank God for doctors. But occasionally doctors will look at you and say, I'm sorry, sir. There is nothing more we can do.
Aha. At that stage, my daddy would say, well, now that all helpers have failed, let me show you I am the Almighty. I'm telling someone here today, that situation that is considered completely hopeless in your life will bring forth a glorious testimony. I enjoyed many of the testimonies of tonight. I enjoyed the testimony of the brother who was doing dialysis with, I can't remember how many thousands he was spending per week. 200,000. At the best, the doctor will say, let's give you a kidney transplant. That's if they can find a kidney. And kidney transplant is not even guaranteed that it will work. But he was sitting somewhere in the congregation, and the Almighty God said, receive your healing. I just like the way he said it. He said, well, look at me now. Tomorrow somebody will stand here and say, look at me now. I don't know of any drugs yet that can change SS to AA. But I know a God. I know the Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth. Let me hear somebody shout hallelujah to him. Some of you will remember the story of the woman who was barren and kept going to the pastor for prayers. And after the prayer, after some time, the pastor said, I've prayed for everybody. All the people I prayed for, they are now with their own children. What's your own case? Tell me your story. And she told the story, oh, when I was a schoolgirl, I made a mistake. I became pregnant. I tried to abort. It went wrong. So they rushed me to the hospital. And to save my life, they took away my womb. So the pastor said, you mean you have no womb? She said, no. And then you want me to pray for you to have a child? He said, hey, you are the one who taught us with God nothing shall be impossible. The pastor said, yes, that is true. From that day onward, whenever the pastor saw her coming, the pastor would run. God have mercy on pastors. I thought you should say amen to that. Then one day the woman saw that as she was coming, the pastor didn't know that she had seen him. Saw the pastor running away. I knew, okay. So she turned to God and said, I won't go to pastor anymore. I will go to you who made me. That night she had a dream. In the dream she was standing naked. And a huge man was coming towards her with the skin of an animal. Got to where she was, wrapped the skin around her belly, and the man disappeared. And she woke up, trembling with fear. You know the rest of the story. The last time I heard about her, she already had 5 children. There is a God who can reverse the irreversible. When your situation became so helpless that no human being can help, then get ready for wonders. Because there is a God who can reverse the irreversible. Well, of course, we can go on talking about the dry bones for quite a while, but I want to be brief tonight because I want to give you time to pray, to call on that God. Let's take Abraham. Because after all, you are not dead. They're not dry bones yet. What about Abraham? When you read Genesis 18 and you read it from verse 1 to 14, you also see some things, because that's exactly what God did for Sarah and Abraham. He reversed the irreversible. And we notice in the case of Abraham that when he saw three men passing by, and something within him told him, these are your visitors, he ran to meet them. That's what the Bible says. He seized this opportunity. Beloved, let me assure you, a night like this comes only once in a lifetime. Tonight is the night somebody has been waiting for. I beg you, in the name that's above every other name, seize the opportunity tonight. Abraham seized the opportunity. And then Abraham did something else that prompted God to say, all right, I will reverse the irreversible for you. He voluntarily, without anybody compelling him, he voluntarily offered to entertain God. Please don't go. Come to my tent. Let me give you some water to drink. You may even wash your feet. And if you don't mind, just a little bread. And God said, all right, do as you have said. And for the first time in history of mankind, God ate the food prepared by man. Because the man offered the food voluntarily. I'm sure you know they have already taken the offering, so I'm not about to take another offering. But I'm saying that the kind of people who get God to reverse the irreversible for them are those who voluntarily will serve God. At least you know the story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 17. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 17. The Bible tells us that a great woman of Shunem saw Elisha passing by and compelled him to come to her house to eat. Elisha wasn't asking for food. The woman said, you will eat in my house before you go. And Elisha ate, you know the rest of the story. After he tasted the food and saw how good it was, he began to come back for more. So the woman said, all right, don't just come occasionally. Let's build you a house so that you can eat not just an occasional lunch, you can have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's why when God finally decided to remember the woman, and the man of God said, you are going to have a son, and she said, don't deceive me, which is a clear sign of unbelief, the Almighty God decided to ignore her doubt. He overruled her unbelief and said, I've already spoken, it shall be. And I'm speaking to someone here tonight. It doesn't matter your level of faith tonight. That which you consider impossible will be made possible for you in Jesus' name. We should look at the story we referred to earlier on in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. Thank you, Father. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, before the end of the year, I will expose your fake friends. and I will deal with them.
The Lord asked me to tell someone here tonight, he asked me to inform you to stop seeking human attention. He said, I am the one you need, and I am more than sufficient.
I'm sure the fellow will know.
Thank you, Father. He's
stopping me again.
The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said, soon it will be difficult to believe that you were once considered a failure. I was talking about 2 Kings chapter 6. But I think I want to say amen to this one, because the Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said, the enemy will never again have a say concerning your progress. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 to 7, when the axe head fell into the river, the irreversible became reversed because the son of the prophet involved cried to the man of God for help. God will not just reverse the irreversible for someone who doesn't want to tell God, I need help. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52, it's a story you know very well. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Bartimaeus was born blind. There was nothing any doctor could do for him. He was supposed to live and die blind. But because he cried out to God and refused to be silenced, God reversed the irreversible for him. He gave him brand new eyes. And I wonder why God is talking about eyes and eyes again. I thank God for the testimony of the old man who said, I can now see. I say it one more time, all of you with eye problems, in the name that's above every other name, this Congress, your problems are over. I can feel the Holy Spirit wants me to get out of the way so you can pray. But how does he reverse the irreversible? Well, he could do it by direct decree from himself, like he said to Abraham, your wife will have a son. And after all, the Bible says, once God has spoken, it is done. He can do it through the anointing of his prophet, like in the story we read in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. It was the anointing on Elisha that turned the piece of wood to something that would sink, took the anointing to locate the iron, passed the anointing to the iron, and the iron shot up. So God could use the anointing of his prophet. And I can tell you stories along that line, but we don't have the time. And then he could use a prophet prophesying, as we see in this text we read. Son of man, prophesy. Son of man, prophesy. He kept on saying, son of man, prophesy. And I thank God that tonight I'm standing in the office of a prophet. And I'm prophesying to you. Everything considered irreversible in your life shall be reversed. But before I get out of the way for you to pray. You need to notice one thing about dry bones. They lay helplessly in the valley. Anyone who is going to get the irreversible reversed for him must be in a state of full surrender. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, Romans 12 verse 1, it said we are to present our body a living sacrifice. We are to just lay ourselves on the altar before the Almighty God and say, Lord, I am here, I am helpless, I need help. Do you know that many people have lost their miracles because of pride? They have a problem, but they won't talk about it. They hide it. Now, hiding it from man is good, but hiding it from God? Tonight, when we go to pray, I want to appeal to you. Forget your position. Forget your achievements. Forget your degrees. Forget who you are. Lay yourself on the altar before the Almighty God and say, Father, I am helpless. Help me tonight. And I'm sure He will. Which is why I'm calling on those of you who are yet to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Those of you who have been struggling all these years, when they say, give your life to Jesus, you say, no, if I give my life to Jesus, He will become my Lord now. He will begin to ask me not to do this, not to do that. Why don't you surrender your life to Him? All these years that you have been your own controller, you know how much you have suffered. You know how many opportunities you have lost. Why don't you surrender yourself to Him and let Him take control? Remember, He's the one who controls yesterday, who controls today, who controls tomorrow. Surrendering to the Almighty God is the wisest decision you can ever make. So if you are here and you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you have not yet said, Lord, just take over. From now on, whatever you say, I will do. But you will want to do so tonight, I invite you to come. Come and give your life to Jesus Christ. And I can see some of you very far away. So I'm going to count from 1 to 10. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus before I say 10, come and stand before me here. So I can pray for your salvation and the Almighty God will take over from there. I'm counting now. 1. You have to move very fast, particularly those of you who are far away. 2. Thank you, those of you who are clapping. May the Lord bless your hands. 3. Four. Thank you, Jesus. The hands that clap for Jesus never wither. They never wither. 5. Six.
7. Eight. Nine. And now those of you already in front, you begin to talk to the Lord, ask Him to have mercy on you, ask Him to save your soul, tell Him you have come to surrender your life to Him, ask Him to just take you as you are, just as I am. Oh Lord, I have come. I've come to surrender my life to you. I've come to ask you to forgive all my sins. I've come to ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Just do whatever you like with my life from now. I surrender to you now. The rest of you who are still on the way, keep coming, keep coming. Don't wait. And the rest of us, shall we please stretch our hands towards these people and pray for them. Let's intercede for them, that the Almighty God who saved our own souls will save their souls also. Let's pray for them, brethren. Those of you on the way, keep coming, keep coming. It's not too late yet. Just make sure you get here before I finish praying. Keep coming. Brethren, let's intercede for these people. I pray that the Almighty God will have mercy on all of them, that He will cleanse them in His blood, that He will forgive all their sins. Pray for them, brethren. And those of you in front and those of you who are coming, you talk to the Almighty God and say, please, Lord, have mercy on me. I surrender my life to you today. I surrender my life to you. Have mercy, have mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And I will serve you for the rest of my life. Have mercy on me, Lord. Just forgive all my sins. And I will do your will for the rest of my life. Yes, Lord, have mercy on me. Cleanse me in your blood. And make me yours forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you are still coming, yes, I can see you. Keep coming. Don't wait by the way. Just keep coming. I'm about to pray now, but keep coming. Make sure you get here before I finish praying. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Savior, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your word. And thank you for these people who have come forward to receive you. Father, please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Father, you promised that whosoever will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. They've come to you now, Father. Please receive them in Jesus' name. Forgive them in Jesus' name. Let your blood wipe away all their sins in Jesus' name. Even as you are saving their souls tonight, please write their names in the book of life in Jesus' name. And please don't let them ever go back into the world in Jesus' name. And from now on, anytime they call on you, please answer them by fire. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, those of you in front, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Okay, now I'm rejoicing with you because from now on, by the grace of God, I'll be praying for you. And that's a promise. So I'm going to need your names, I'm going to need your address, I'm going to need your prayer request so that I can continue to pray for you. So if you begin to go now, and let's give the Lord a big round of applause. As they begin to go, let's give the Almighty God a round of applause for this harvest of souls. Let's Let's bless the name of the Lord. Let's bless the name of the Lord. Let's bless the name of the Lord.
Number one, of course, we want to praise Him because of His almightiness. He can do anything. So praise Him because He's almighty. And then number two, you will lift your voice to Him at the appropriate time and say, Father, you are the help of the helpless. Please help me. You are the help of the helpless. Help me. Number three. Say, please restore to me, Father. Every opportunity that I have lost. Restore to me every opportunity that I have lost. Number four, say, Father, give me another chance. Just give me another chance. Give me another chance. Number five, you say, Father, change every curse in my life to a blessing. Change every curse in my life to a blessing. Number six, Father, if need be, rewrite my destiny for the better tonight. If need be, rewrite my destiny for the better tonight. And then number seven, Father, reverse the irreversible for me tonight. Reverse the irreversible for me tonight. Tonight I'm going to give you 40 minutes to talk to the Almighty God. The altar is open. If you want to come, you're welcome. If you want to pray sitting down, you're welcome. If you want to stand, you're welcome. If you want to lay yourself prostrate before Him, you're welcome. This is your opportunity. Seize it tonight. Cry to Him to reverse the irreversible for you. Let's begin to pray. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. The help of the helpless will help you tonight. From the east, He will send help to you. From the west, He will send help to you. From the north, He will send help to you.
From the south, he will send help to you. From heaven above, he will send help to you. Every opportunity you have lost shall be fully restored to you. The Almighty God will give you another chance. Another chance to succeed. Another chance to prosper. Another chance to be victorious. God will give you yet another chance. If need be, he will rewrite your destiny. Every curse in your family shall be cancelled tonight. Every curse shall be replaced with a blessing. For you, God will reverse the irreversible. It will be well with you. For the rest of your life, you will remember tonight for good. So shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. If you receive that, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Then say it loud and clear. I receive it in Jesus' name. The Lord will go with you. Now you see the reason you must tell your friends. Tell them I pity you in Jesus' name. Good night. Go in peace.